Blog Talk Radio.
Good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh. The Dalai McCarthy Show.
Yeah, good show.
The Dalai McCarthy Show.
The Dalai McCarthy Show.
This show is made possible by the following sponsors.
The Dalai McCarthy Show is proudly sponsored by NapervilleAlarms.com. Do you want to keep your home or business safe? Go to NapervilleAlarms.com. They have everything from 24/7 alarm monitoring to home automation through your smartphone. Monitoring starts at a low price of $19 a month with no contract. NapervilleAlarms.com, keeping Chicagoland safe since 2000. Bricconi's is the kind of food your mama wanted you to eat. Check out Bricconi's. They're one of the best pizza joints in all of the Southwest suburbs. They're a small business that's family-owned and operated. Check out Bricconi's.com. That's B-R-A-C-O-N-I-S, Bricconi's.com. Or give them a call at 630-717-9530. Sullivan Steakhouse, offering guests a unique steakhouse experience with selectable food, fun cocktails, and swinging live music, enticing their guests to untie, unwind, and uncork. Check out SullivanSteak.com. And many thanks to a sponsor of our show, Naperville Trolley and Tours. They have four beautiful trolleys for weddings, bar hops, birthday parties, light tours, bat and bar mitzvahs, and more. It's always more fun on the Naperville Trolley. Ding, ding. Arthur Murray Dance in Naperville and in Oak Brook. They didn't invent dancing, just the best way to teach it. Check out ArthurMurrayNaperville.com or 630 is their number, 355-6240. That's 630-355-6240. Mention the Dalai McCarthy Show, and your first dance lesson is absolutely free. Is purchasing or financing a home part of your summer or fall plans? If so, call the experienced mortgage professionals at Homebridge Financial Services for a free pre-qualification. Interest rates remain at historic lows, and home values are on the rise. Their mission is to simplify the mortgage process, and they're proud to be your partner for the path ahead. Give them a call at 630-404-4272 to get started today. Again, 630-404-4272, Homebridge Financial Services. Thanks, guys, for sponsoring the good show. And Napier Settlement, where history comes to play. They are a proud sponsor of the Dalai McCarthy Show. Check out NapierSettlement.org or give them a call at 630-305-5257. This weekend, Napier Settlement hosts Oktoberfest. This is Friday and Saturday, September 30th and October 1st. Kick off your fall season in the beautiful surroundings of Napier Settlement. Be outdoors and enjoying some Wiener Schnitzel, big giant pretzels while all listening to those Oompa bands. Check out NapierSettlement.org for all the details. Oktoberfest coming up this weekend. And the Dalai McCarthy Show is a proud sponsor of that Napier Settlement Oktoberfest. And if you would like to go, we'd love to give you free tickets, sponsor 10 tickets we have, as well as general admission. All you have to do is go to the Dalai McCarthy Show, like it on Facebook, follow on Twitter, and leave us a message on why you enjoyed listening to the show. Hey, Clutch Car Care in Naperville, another proud sponsor of the Dalai McCarthy Show. They're themed after the infamous Clark Griswold vacation movie. Enjoy fresh popcorn in their kid-friendly waiting room while taking a load off in one of their massage chairs. Emission experts for over 10 years, according to the EPA listening. Conveniently located right next door to the Naperville Emissions Testing Center. Matt and his longtime staff will take care of any of your car needs, from a funny noise in the engine to factory maintenance needs. They're also the only repair shop that offers a free roadside assistance with any repair. We believe in service that you swear by, not at. Mention the Dalai McCarthy Show for a one-time special of $17.95 oil change. Yes, you heard that right, $17.95 and $27.95 for synthetic. Check out Clark's Car Care in Naperville. Happy cars, happy owners. Thanks, Matt Weber. First Comes Fitness, another great sponsor of the Dalai McCarthy Show. Do you feel unhappy every morning as you get dressed? What's up with that? Do you look at old pictures and wish that you were that size again? I'm guilty of that. It may seem impossible to you, but it's not. If you want something, let's work for it together. Jocelyn Shook, spelled S-H-O-O-K, Shook, from First Comes Fitness is available to help you out. She is not only a physician assistant, but also a health and fitness coach. Jocelyn Shook with First Comes Fitness can assist you in helping you lose those extra pounds that have been adding up over the years. Jocelyn Shook can help you get into your pre-baby weight clothes. Looking to get stronger? I know I am. Jocelyn can help you find great solutions. If it sounds like you, then she's the right person. Check out First Comes Fitness on the web or on Facebook. Message her to schedule a free consultation. First Comes Fitness.
Good news, good guests, and at least one good laugh. The Dolly McCarthy Show.
Yeah, it's a good show.
The Dolly McCarthy Show.
Yes, it is indeed the good show. Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome to the Dolly McCarthy Show. I'm so glad to be back this week after being away last week. It's nice to be back. And what's the good word? I've heard so many great, good things that have been happening around the radio dial with all of my listeners on 1010 News Talk, Instagram, Twitter, all the followers there, and Facebook as well. Rivet Radio Network in Chicago. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Blog Talk Radio, Tuiville Internet Radio, and WCKG 1530 AM in Chicago. Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to the good show. I really do enjoy hearing all the good news from you. And as you know, we do this every Thursday live from 1:30 until 2:30, and then it rebroadcasts throughout the weekend, capping off on Sunday at WCKG on 1530 AM. So we love doing this, and I welcome your calls. Give me a call if you have something good to share. I'm at 347-945-7215. We have a good show for you today. Yes, we do. Moms, are you listening? I'm trying to figure out how to sneak in those vegetables. Were your kids like mine? Mine are a little older, so they're better about eating their vegetables now. But when they were little, it was really hard. They thought the broccoli was little trees. They would not eat it. But then I went over to my girlfriend's house, and her kids were devouring pounds of the broccoli. What is it about some kids that just won't eat the veggies? Well, you know what? I sure wish there was a solution when I was a young mom. I couldn't figure out ways to heat it, to hide the vegetables in without them noticing. But there's a gal that you may have heard of. She'll be on the show joining us shortly, and she's going to talk about some sneaky ways. Can we be sneaky with our kids? Yes, we sure can. We're taking care of their health. Missy Chase Lapine is going to be joining us shortly to talk about one of her best-selling books and her recent book, Sneaky Blends, Supercharging Your Health with More Than 100 Recipes Using the Power of Purees. So we'll be talking to her very soon. We also have later in the show the author of a new book called this is interesting. Some people say Appalachian and Appalachian. Appalachian? Lachian? We have to check with Jeff Ryan. He's the author of a new book. I say Appalachian Odyssey. It's about his hiking adventures along the Appalachian Trail, the AP. So we're going to be talking to him. Have any of you read the book A Walk in the Woods? Maybe you've seen the movie with Robert Redford. It's a darling movie. It's a darling book. I love the book. I actually got it on tape and listened to it on a road trip with my kids all the way down to Florida, and they enjoyed it. The movie was good. So we're very curious as to, talking to Jeff Ryan, the author of this book, as I said, Appalachian Odyssey, and finding out what sort of things he discovered along the trail. It'd be interesting to hear his perspective on that as well. So, good show for you. I wanted to welcome you out of the program. What's the good word, everybody? It sure is fall here in Chicagoland. So if you're tuning in outside Chicago and you're sweating alongside a pool, we really do envy you. Actually, no, we don't. We love our seasons here. That's why we're in Chicago. But I'll tell you, I don't say love too often when it's January around here. But it's beautiful. Fall is here. It's chilly today. Damp and cold, just as fall usually is, although we're missing the sun. The sun would be nice. I hear this weekend's going to be nice. So if you're heading to Napier Settlement out in Naperville, the Dolly McCarthy Show is a sponsor of Oktoberfest there. So join me Friday night or Saturday during the day, and it's also going to be lots going on into the evening hours on Saturday. But Saturday afternoon probably is a good time to go with the family. Lots of things to do. Pino's Palette will be there. So there'll be painting going on. The bands there are wonderful. Every year, families are up there dancing. Memories are made. So don't miss that opportunity to make some good, fun memories with your family. You don't have to be German or even like beer to go. There's plenty of other things to eat and drink there. Apple cider, big pretzels, and I love saying Wiener Schnitzel. I don't know why. It must be the German in me that wants to get out. Or is that the Venetian? Then am I saying that right? Oh, well, whatever. I'm thinking of the Von Trapp family. Okay. So, again, welcome to the program. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We're going to get right to it. My first guest, please welcome. She's a member of Parenting Magazine's team of experts. Parenting Magazine, can't get more expert than that. I used to subscribe to that magazine. It was like my Bible when I was a young mom. Now I don't know. I haven't picked it up in years, but I'm sure it's just as good as it was back then. Founder of Sneaky Chef Foods, New York Times bestselling author, and most recently the author of, I mentioned it earlier, Sneaky Blend. Supercharge your health with more than 100 recipes using the power of purees. Please welcome Missy Chase Lapine. Missy, am I saying your last name right? I really hope so. Let's get that right out there.
Yeah, no, you're like one in 100 who gets it right. So Lapine is right. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Well, welcome to the show, and congratulations
on your
new book. Wow, is this the seventh book you've written?
Oh. It is. It's a real variation because, you know, you're talking about moms and kids, and so the first six books were all Sneaky Chef, and that just, you know, took off, and it's the instant solution to an age-old problem of getting our kids to eat what we want them to eat and the foods they want to eat, and it's like the win-win, and it worked great. And now yesterday my new book came out, Sneaky Blends, which really takes like the same, we're not really hiding on ourselves, but Sneaky Blends is a way of using those purees and transforming everything we eat for adults. So it's a more modern, fresh, and adult version of Sneaky Chef. And now it's for the whole family. I think everybody will enjoy it. And we like to say, let health sneak up on you, and that's the sneaky part now. It's so easy.
Hey, do you have kids of your own too? So what inspired you to be the sneaky chef?
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm a mom of really desperation, right? So my little one, that's the mother of invention. So my little one not only was born with 35 or so food allergies and then became the ultimate picky eater and really had just so few things that she would like. And then I realized I could get, you know, puree stuff up super simple. I mean, just really make it into a hummus-type consistency and slip it into things that the kids liked. I'm kind of famous for those brownies with the hidden puree of baby spinach and blueberries, or mac and cheese with sweet potato carrot puree. And that really just instantly makes everybody happy and healthier. And then Sneaky Blends was born out of that because a lot of my millions of moms following Sneaky Chef were really just using the purees. They're so delicious to eat them straight up. They're creamy and they're sweet and yummy. And then they're mixing it into their own foods. And, you know, guess what? Like now all of a sudden everything's healthier and so easy to get those fruits and veggies and fiber. And it makes everything creamy and delicious. So why not, right? It's, mm-hmm. if it's easy, why not do it?
Yeah, why not? Now, in those blends, I'm curious, because now the big thing is sugar, so let's just put that out there. Are you conscious of the sugar content and level in these blends?
I love that you asked that, because, I mean, I was not allowed, like, I wouldn't have, but my publisher and everybody made sure I put zero sugar in the book. So I have over 100 incredibly mouthwatering, seemingly decadent recipes and Sneaky Blends. I mean, 100 of them with the blends are just, you know, they of course have no sugar, and then the recipes themselves have no sugar added. So maybe I use a little pure maple syrup if needed or honey, but very little. So no sugar, no butter. And you can even detox. You can do a whole cleanse with these blends. So that it's like the new, you know, it's a new generation of juicing, but now it's the whole food and you get all the fiber and you feel so full and good. And, you know, there's just no hunger and no sugar to spike your blood sugar levels. So you really, it's just, a kind of a new way of eating and cooking.
And a better way, too. Starving, you're right. But we didn't know any better years ago, starving ourselves. And then,
no starving. And then, I mean, really, you should be able to have your favorite foods and enjoy them and still be healthy.
Yeah. Well, and then there was that time where we thought, oh, we got to eat salad. So we were just dying from the lettuce. There was so much green, we couldn't get through it. Now, with the green, I make green smoothies here at the house. I'd love to learn how to puree or find out how I can find your products, too. But I'm now taking, you know, handfuls of kale, handfuls mm-hmm. of spinach, and putting them in a blender. And I could never eat that much spinach in a sitting.
Never. That's the thing, even if you have the best intentions.
Really,
right. Exactly. Who's going to sit? Who
yeah.
has the time? Or even, it's not even so good for your belly to have all that roughage. When you puree it, in the way I make the blends, it's simpler on your digestive system. It's more delicious, and it's even easier than chopping an onion. I mean, if you can make a salad or a smoothie, you can make my blends. And I love what you said. I love that, you know, it's so much easier. And these salad bars that we're all going to, they're just filled with lettuce. If you took the lettuce away, you'd have very few good ingredients left in that huge bowl of salad. And there's not much in there. So really, the superfoods, the good stuff we want, you need to get it elsewhere, and we're not getting it. So Sneaky Blends makes it easy for
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, I read somewhere that you are partnering with some schools. Is that right? Or
yeah. So, well, I have some Sneaky Chef foods on the shelf. I have a peanut butter alternative called Sneaky Chef No Nut Butter. It's actually made from golden peas, and a lot of schools are carrying mm-hmm. that now because it's completely peanut and tree nut free and looks and tastes like peanut butter. So and it's soy free as well. So that's in a lot of schools now. And Sneaky Chef, it's just really just simple ways of getting our kids to eat healthier and ourselves to eat healthier. And it's simple changes that we can live with.
Yeah. Okay, let's start with some simple changes. I don't have any purees or blends in my house. Once in a while, I'll make that green smoothie. What are some simple things that you can recommend that people start to do?
Mm-hmm.
And then also elaborate on those purees. So I'm a little nervous about adding that to the brownie mix, I got to say. Is it really going to alter the taste?
It's magical. Well, I have a chocolate cake, for example, in the new book that it will blow your socks off. I mean, you will not believe it's healthy, gluten-free, sugar-free, and super fudgy and delicious. And that one starts with, you know, as you said, you're putting the kale in the blender, and if you throw some blueberries in there as well. And I use frozen blueberries because all year long you can get them, and they're cheaper, and they're just available in your freezer section all year long. And then I take a can of black beans and put that in there. So right away you have three incredible superfoods. You have black beans, kale, baby kale, and blueberries. You didn't have to cook anything. You throw it in your blender, a little bit of water, and you make the consistency of like a, you know, almost like a hummus. You're not looking to make soup or a smoothie. It's a little thicker. And then you mix that right into your chocolate batter, if you will. I mean, you can also eat it straight up or mix it into tacos or ground beef. There's just probably 50 ways you can use that particular blend. And you can make, for example, like you want chocolate cake, you don't want the gluten, you don't want the sugar. Now you're going to have a little treat of a skinny, gluten-free, delicious, fudgy chocolate cake with superfoods in it instead of empty calories.
Isn't that amazing how did you come up with this idea? I would have never thought of something like that in there.
I do a lot of trial and error, I guess. Right. Well,
I have
been writing recipes, you know, for about 9 years now since Sneaky Chef first came out. I test them all myself. I'm a mom chef. I'm self-taught. I'm not a master chef by any means. If I can do it, anyone can. And I'm somewhat always looking for shortcuts, how to make our lives easier and quicker and more delicious. I don't want to give up my favorite foods to fit into those skinny jeans. I don't think it's worth it. And many people don't. There are a few of us will starve to lose those 10 pounds. I just love food too much. And so I want my favorite foods. You know, we talked about, you were mentioning the carrot sweet potato, and that blend to me is, it's the ultimate versatile blend. And that one will transform most foods that you eat. I mean, that's an easy one to make, and then you can eat it as a side dish at Thanksgiving as well. But that's just, you know, keep a glass of a blend in your fridge at all times, and you're going to mix it into everything from your tuna salad to, you know, to your muffin mix.
Wow, that's interesting. I'm trying to picture this carrot blend in my tuna salad. It's going to change the color. I think it's just a new way of looking at things, and I love it. It's brilliant because I feel as a mother that there's not enough nutrients in the food that I'm giving them. So I'm putting salads on the table, and they're barely touching it. So I think for me and my kids,
the carrot sweet potato blend, for example, that blend can mix into any red sauce, like pasta sauce as well. If you're ever serving, you know, pasta with sauce, it's really simple. Just mix a big spoonful of that in there, and it makes the sauce sweeter, less acidic, gentler on the stomach, but just more delicious. And if you're making soup, and you might think of adding butter or cream to make it thicker and more, you know, creamy, you never need cream again, because my purees, for example, my white bean puree or that carrot sweet potato puree or cauliflower puree, any of those will thicken and make your soup as if it has tons of cream in it, and there will not be any cream in it. And if you don't always want a brothy soup, you know, because some of us want the rich, hearty soup with a creamy consistency, but we don't want to add cream. And I think when we go to a restaurant, the first thing we ask the waiter when he mentions the soup of the day is, does it have cream in it? Because that's, you know, artery clogging, and you don't feel, and it's also going to add the pounds on, and nobody wants that.
No way, no. What's your number one selling puree? What do you find that most people are putting that into? The brownies? Is the spinach one going into the brownies? That's probably the first one I would go for.
Right. The blueberry spinach is great in brownie mix.
Yes.
I personally think that that orange one, colored one, the carrot sweet potato, I mean, you could have that as a grab and go snack on its own, add a little cinnamon, add a little bit of olive oil. You've got like an amazing snack, and then you can mix it into your family's foods. I mean, I've probably got, I don't know, 50 ways to use that puree alone in this new book. But I mean, I don't like to, you know, have a favorite child. So all my purees are pretty amazing, but some are easier to make and easier to use. The green ones are hard to hide or mix into, you know, obviously you have to have a dark colored dish to mix them in. So they can be a little tricky, but I've done all the hard work. So all you got to do is get the book, Sneaky Blends, and, you know, follow along. It's probably the easiest cooking you'll do. I'm not big on a lot of time in the kitchen. I call it, you know, shower cooking, which is put it on and go take a shower and relax, and then, you know, it cooks itself.
Wow. Well, someday when you're back into the Chicagoland area, we'd love to have you on the show, and you can show us how you whip up those blueberry spinach brownies. But in the meantime, we're going to look for your products on the show. Where can we find some of these Sneaky Chef products? I know you have a website,
go to the sneakychef.com, where you can find everything. I mean, there's free recipes and tips, and sign up for my newsletter. You'll get recipes in your inbox that, you know, will be total family crowd pleasers. So mostly at thesneakychef.com. I'm also on shelves at lots of grocery stores, and that peanut butter alternative I have is in the peanut butter aisle. I do have pasta sauce in some stores, but mostly you just get all the info at sneakychef.com.
Sounds great. Well, thank you so much, Missy, for coming on the show. Missy Chase Lepine. She is a best-selling author, and she's a member of the Parents Magazine team of experts. How did you get on that team?
Yeah, I do appreciate that.
That's a hard team to
get on. Yep, well,
that's great.
Wrote a bunch of recipes, I guess, that really work. But thank you so much for having me on, Dolly. Appreciate it, and look forward to coming out and cooking with you one day.
Yeah, I do too. Thanks again for coming on the show. Boy, she was a pleasant guest to have on, hearing about ways we can give extra nutrients into our kids' foods. I'm always looking for new ideas, and I love this. I'll have to look for these products. But anyway, I got the email about Missy, and I thought, what a great idea to introduce my guest, because probably not a lot of people have heard about adding purees in our foods. And I think this is brilliant. So hats off to her for doing this. And not, I'm also really cognizant of the sugar content that's going into my kids' diet. Boy, don't I sound like a crazy mom here? No, there's no such thing as a crazy mom. We're crazy about our kids, and we want to put good things into their bodies. And, you know, just the way the world is right now, a lot of junk food out there. So we got to be vigilant and advocate for our kids. And I love this idea of putting these nutrient-packed purees into our foods. It's worth a try, right? So it was great having Missy on the show. The Sneaky Chef is who we were talking to, thesneakychef.com, if you'd like to check out her line of products. And she also has a web address, www.sneakyblends.com, for her book, too. So you could check out her new book, Sneaky Blends, Supercharge Your Health with More Than 100 Recipes Using the Power of Purees. And so check it out there. If you do find that book and start making some of these recipes, please let me know. Tag me on Facebook. Show me some pictures. I'd love to hear more about it. That's for sure. Okay. We are going to be moving on to our next guest very soon. Author Jeff Ryan will be on the show. We're going to ask him the proper way to pronounce. There's two ways of saying the Appalachian. The Appalachian or Appalachian? Appalachian. That's another way of saying it. I always said Appalachian. I don't know. We'll have to find out from Jeff what he thinks. But he is an expert hiker on the AP Trail. And if you love the book, A Walk in the Woods, you're probably going to love this. If you love to hike, if you've always had a dream of hiking the AP, tune in and listen to this interview very, very soon with Jeff Ryan. Okay, I have a quick announcement. The DuPage Children's Museum out in Naperville, they're having a fundraiser, Party with a Purpose. It's driven to give, Party with a Purpose. Start your engines and celebrate with the next-gen board of DuPage Children's Museum as they race to raise funds to help children reach their full learning potential through hands-on exploration at the Party with a Purpose Driven to Give event on Friday, October 14th, 6:30 to 11. Shift into high gear at this adults-only cocktail party and be driven to give. Attendees will have the option to purchase one of two event experiences. You can go to the VIP experience. That's offered at $125 per person. That includes early admission at 6:30 with sleek sports car test drives. Wow. Of course, that's prior to the cocktail reception. We don't want any drinking and driving going on. There'll be signature cocktails, main event entry, and more. And then there's a main event only experience offered at $75. That begins at 8 p.m. and it includes a live DJ, heavy appetizers, open bar, silent auction, raffle, and more. If you'd like to come, check out the museum, which is located at 301 North Washington Street in Naperville, or you can go to the website, www.dupagechildrens.org, or call 637-8000. That's the DuPage Children's Museum. All right, so we're going to move on here. I did have one more announcement, but I'm going to hold off on that. So next week, we have a big announcement coming on. And I'll wait till next week to give that to you. So how's everybody doing out there? I see I got some callers calling in. But first, I do have to take this call from, is this author Jeff Ryan?
It is indeed. Hi, Dolly.
Oh, hi, Jeff. Hello. I'm so excited you're on the show. I was so thrilled.
I am, too.
To see your book. Oh, thank you.
It got there.
I'm so thrilled. Oh.
Great.
Well,
it's,
you know,
fun
I'm
to be on. It's
Go ahead.
Have
a little delay, Jeff. Sorry about that. You got the mic.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Delighted to be on. I'm speaking to you from Detroit right now, but I'm swooping into Chicago tomorrow, and it's been an amazing tour.
Has it been? How has it been so far? You know, and I'd love to hear what people are saying and telling you about the book. Are these people that are dreaming of hiking the AP Trail? And by the way, let's get that out there. How do you pronounce it? Because you're an expert on that trail.
It depends on where I'm at. There's sort of a
really?
Cutoff line. Partway in northern Virginia, it kind of switches over, and the locals call it Appalachian. And north of that is Appalachian. So depends on where you're at. Some say tomato, some
okay,
say tomato.
Okay, I guess that's because, well, I guess I say Appalachian because I'm from the northern part, like Chicago area. We're north. So maybe that's why we say it here like that. But I've never heard Appalachian, right? Appalachian? That's really interesting.
Yeah. Well, it's been an utterly fantastic tour, just fantastic. I'm on cloud nine.
And so when you're meeting these folks, that's what I think, that's one of the cool things about a book tour is hearing what people think of the book, their own experiences. And I think, you know, in my eyes, you're kind of a celebrity, Jeff, because I've always wanted to hike that trail and experience it. And so it would be so cool to meet you. I'd be more excited to meet you than Brad Pitt. Let me just tell you that.
Well, that's great.
I want to hear more about. I want to hear about this trail. When you're walking, we got so much to talk about, and I'm jumping all over. Let's answer the first question. What has it been like this book tour so far?
Well, it's been really fantastic, and what it's really shown to me is. As always, if we're really close to a subject and others aren't, you sometimes are really amazed at what you hear. For example, a lot of people haven't really considered doing the hike-in sections. There's a group of folks that just think, oh, I thought I had to quit my job or take a six-month leave of absence or whatever to do this trail. It never occurred that I could break it down in pieces, and this book certainly shows that you can do that because, of course, we did it over 28 years. And I had a fellow come in with a 7-year-old boy, and he said, oh, my gosh, I didn't know this was doable. I started reading the book to my son, Matthew, and now we're starting to section hike. So I think that's really awesome. And, of course, there are people that have either started the trail or know someone who's done it or have just want to read about what it's like to do the whole trail.
Yes, that's me right there. Yeah, I'm hungry to hear more about this trail, the Appalachian Trail, or you can call it AT, right? Do most people call it AT?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay.
AT is the easy way.
Well, it's about 2,200 miles.
Yes, close. It's 2,181 miles. It goes through 14 states. The longest is Virginia, which is a quarter of the trail. It goes diagonally across Virginia. It's about 550 miles across. The shortest is West Virginia, 4 miles. So there are a number of states that are in the high 100s and into the 200s, but it's just a fascinating journey, and the topography changes, and it's great. I mean, you're doing everything from who knew that northern New Jersey was as beautiful as it is. I certainly didn't. And that goes into Delaware Water Gap and down into Virginia and North Carolina and Tennessee, and Pennsylvania is also fantastic. And, of course, I'm very partial to New England, having grown up there, and New Hampshire and Maine are considered by many to be the toughest part, but it's also the most beautiful in many ways.
Mm-hmm. Now, you've been a hiker your whole life, is that right?
Pretty much.
You see people on the trail. I mean, there's millions of people. I hear at least, I've read at least 2 million people are said to do at least a one-day hike on the trail every year. So you see all these different types on there. Do they crack you up, some of them, just watching them? You're an experienced hiker.
Oh, yes.
What are some tips that we should keep in mind if we're going to be doing these hikes?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And some of the places that are more accessible to a quick drive from urban areas, you see people out and about wearing some pretty funky get-ups. But, you know, it's... It's a little bit of everything, to each their own, and especially in the summer, you have a bigger margin for error with your clothing regime. It gets a little trickier when you get into fall and winter.
Oh, yeah. I can only imagine right now. It's probably looking so beautiful with the fall colors.
It's our favorite time to hike. In fact, in the book, as I pointed out, we being a little bit, well, still young at the time and incredibly naive still in some ways, we said, oh, let's go down and hike the Shenandoah in beginning of June, and walked into 95, 98 degree temps and said, you know what, from now on, let's do the southern part in the fall. So we really tended to go in September, October, which was just a gorgeous time to be out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the book, it's so great that you have all this information in the book for those of us that ever dreamed of hiking the AT, because I would have thought June is a good time, you know, around that part myself. So it's a good idea to read the book. But you did this over 28 years. You hiked the entire 2,200-mile hike. Is this the longest hike in America or the world?
No, actually, the Pacific Crest Trail on the West Coast, which I've also done, is 2,600, and that goes from Mexico to Canada through California, Oregon, and Washington. So it's a little bit longer. But, we did do it in 28 years, and one of the funny parts, and I get certainly a lot of feedback about this because it's so humorous, is I went on one hike with this fellow, Wayne Sear, before we started this whole thing. And he was, as I'm fond of saying, you could not have had a lineup of people and chosen the two most opposite people and thrown them into a life raft together. It was sort of like that. And he's very much go with the plan, analyze everything, very numbers driven. I'm very go with the flow, word oriented, obviously extroverted. How did these guys ever make this all work is really... it's really part of the charming part of the book, and it's fun. The friendship part of it really comes through, and people enjoy that quite a bit.
Yeah, I'm enjoying that part of it myself. So, and it kind of reminded me a little bit of the, I hate to say this, but A Walk in the Woods. If you really enjoy that book, you're really going to love this one probably 10 times better. Let me ask you this. When you saw Walk in the Woods, did you laugh? Were there some similarities between the two of you? Because you said you both were so different. Just like
well,
the book.
Can I make an admission?
Sure.
An admission? My mother yeah. once gave me A Walk in the Woods and said, you need to read this. And I told her, I hate to break your heart, but I can't read this book because I don't want it to influence what I'm doing. And so... I had heard a couple of vignettes from that, but I actually have never read it, and I really am flattered and amused at how many people have said it reminds them of that, and I you know, in a very flattering way. But I guess now I can read it. But the general consensus is the book is really great and the movie not so much. But now I guess I can dive in. But it is funny.
Well, we're talking to Jeff Ryan. He's the author of a new book called Appalachian Odyssey. It's all about his adventures, his 28 years, right? 28 years it took you to a 28-year adventure, I should say, that took him through the Appalachian Trail. And you went along for those 28 years with your friend, Wayne. Is it Wayne Starr? Am I saying his last name?
Yep.
C-Y-R.
C-Y-R, yep. Yep.
You started it in 1985. How old were you then?
I was, I got to do the math real quick. I was in my late 20s.
I've read that you were already a hiker. And so what really made you want to do the AT?
Well, it's funny. As the whole thing just played out this way, we climbed Katahdin together. We were up there and had a really great hike. And then Wayne called me the following winter and said, have you ever heard of this trail in Vermont that goes the length of Vermont, north to south? It's called the Long Trail. It's 273 miles, and it goes from the Massachusetts border to Canada. And half of that trail coincides with the AT. It's the exact same trail in the southern part of it. And so we were poking away at that. He was living in Hartford. I was living in Portland, Maine, and we would triangulate. Back then, we didn't even have cell phones. So that's part of the humorous part is we'd say, we're going to meet on some dirt road in the middle of nowhere and hopefully find each other, and then spot a car at either end and hike. And one night we were in the tent, and he said, "You do realize that we've started the Appalachian Trail?" And I remember it like it was yesterday. I burst out laughing and said, "Dude, at this rate, it will take us 30 years. And he said, "So what?" And I said, "Okay, I guess we're underway then." And then from then on, we never picked up where we left off, particularly at the beginning. We did. We started to a little bit in the middle, but we just took turns every winter picking a section and saying, "Where do you want to go next year?" And figuring out how long we could get away, and went out and did it, usually between 7 and 14 days.
So you never did what they call the yo-yo, where they hike from one end to the other and then turn around and through hike the trail the other way? You never did that? You did sections?
Nope. We did one end to the other, either north to south or south to north. And we always used public transportation. When we got outside of New England, we took trains, buses, and the kindness of people who post on the Appalachian Trail website saying they will get you the final miles from the bus station to the trail and drop you off and magically reappear in 12 days or 14 days or whenever it is that you plan on getting off the trail.
Mm-hmm. When you're walking, when you're hiking this trail, you know, I hiked around Lake Geneva. Have you ever heard of Lake Geneva in Wisconsin?
Yes, absolutely.
26 miles. It's only 26 miles. It took me a whole entire day. And I loved it. It was so beautiful. You're looking at the scenery. But, you know, 12 hours, you can't always say, "Wow, look at that." Do you ever get bored and go, "Oh, my God, I just want this to end today, this part of the hike. I just want this to be over." What goes through your mind when you're hiking those long distances?
Oh, my gosh, it's fantastic. It's so freeing. And one of the great benefits of doing a lot of miles is you get to know yourself and you really get to appreciate yourself, as funny as it sounds. Even though you're hiking with someone, you're alone a lot, and you're alone with your thoughts. And once you're able to purge a lot of the normal day-to-day sort of work and the life that you live off the trail thoughts away, you're left with this wonderful freedom to just kind of observe what's going on around you and slow down to a more reasonable pace. 3 miles an hour is a really nice pace to live at. It's a lot different than commuting to work with a coffee cup in your hand. And, you know, it's so marvelous. I really have been so fortunate to have walked over 8,000 miles now at that pace and really enjoy life at the pace I think it's meant to be lived. I remember meeting a couple of college-age kids when we were finishing up the trail, and they were out for a day hike, and one of them turned to me saying that he had to go back to school. He said, "Well, it's time for me to go back to reality." And I turned to him and I pointed out at the mountains and I said, "What do you mean?" I said, "This is reality." And he turned to his friend and he kind of nodded his head at me and he said, "That old guy just blew my mind."
Wow, that old guy who could walk 3 miles in an hour, you're pretty quick.
Especially
some of those terrains are pretty rough. They're pretty rough.
With a 60-pound pack on.
Sailing.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I mean, that's part of it, too. The mental part of it is so important, and I talk about the perseverance factor. You either sort of have it to begin with or you develop it, or you're probably among the 80% that are turning back. And it's really interesting. You had asked me if I ever got bored, and there was one trip in particular that was a real mental challenge for me, and it was the only time it had happened, and it scared me because I never accessed that before, and it came on to me in a way that wasn't really fun. I was getting down on myself and berating myself quite a bit, and I couldn't figure out what was why that was happening. And then with the hindsight of getting off the trail at the end of the trip and sitting on in a train on the way back, I realized that I had basically worked myself into a frenzy before I left to go do this hike, which was fairly strenuous, and realized that my batteries were already pretty low when I got there. And that was a huge mm-hmm. lesson for me in terms of resting up and eating well and packing in advance and all of that stuff that I think when you're younger, you just think you can throw everything in the bag and go. And with age comes wisdom. And that was really a big turning point for me.
In your book, do you talk about the diet, what kinds of things you eat? You mentioned, gearing up and eating well and resting. I remember in the Walk in the Woods, the guy brought a candy bar.
Uh-huh, a Snickers
thing,
bar.
The funniest thing. That wouldn't happen to be in your backpack, would it, on this hike?
Oh, no. We joke about it a lot. The food really evolved over the years, and we ate from the junk food pyramid when we first started, and it was, potato sticks and Mountain Dew. We didn't bring Mountain Dew on the trail, but, we didn't really pay attention. And ramen,
yeah,
which is a staple.
Oh.
And, I basically said, I declared the fall of the ramen empire. I said, I can't do this anymore. And so my mother, fortunately, was a gourmet cook. And so she influenced my diet quite a bit. And we eat pretty well out there. We eat pesto with shrimp now. And we make breakfast burritos with freeze-dried eggs. As vile as it sounds, it's really delicious. We bring chili and things like that. I mean, the choices now in the specialty food shops and even in the grocery stores have changed so much that there are a lot of things within your reach that just weren't when we first started this, when it was Lipton noodles in a bowl every night.
Well, and when you're in your 20s too, that's pretty good fuel. But now when you get a little older like us, we need a little bit more. A shrimp with pesto should get us through, right? At least something
I'm
going to look forward to as you're hiking along. Wow. Well, the trail is waiting for you. That's for sure. The longest hiking only footpath in the world. We're talking to the man who's done it over the course of 28 years, a 28-year adventure. How about that? This is Jeff Ryan. He's the author of a new book, Appalachian Odyssey. It's got beautiful pictures in the book. Definitely inspirational, and it's a great read for those avid hikers out there who maybe completed the trail, or hikers who plan to, or those who dream of doing it like myself. Where can we find the book, Jeff?
The book
where can my listeners find the book?
It's on Amazon, of course, and also I am going to be in Chicago tomorrow, two appearances at both L.L. Bean stores. I'll be in Skokie from 10 to 2, and I'll be in South Barrington from 4 to 8. So if people want to come by and talk trail, they can certainly come and do that. And also, I have a whole bunch of other info about hiking in general and my tour on my website, which is jeffryanauthor.com.
Fantastic. Well, you also talk about the bigger message in your book, too, is talking about moving, inspiring people to move in the direction of their dreams and fulfilling your dreams. And not just in this world, everything comes, young folks particularly want things instantly. But really, you talk about how you can fulfill your dreams little by little, incrementally, and how that's better than being stagnant. Talk a little bit about that, what you mean by that.
Absolutely. Well, I think our whole approach to doing the trail, when I laughed out loud when Wayne said, you do realize we're doing this trail, I think a lot of people have the same reaction, and it doesn't have to be hiking. I think in general we tend to be inundated with a lot of messages about taking big leaps and letting go of the reins and such, and My point in this is you can move toward what you want to do incrementally, and the satisfaction is different than if you do the big plunge. And quite honestly, it's much less risk averse. You can make moves toward it. It's like anything, right? Exercising or making a career move or becoming a gourmet cook, whatever you want to do, doesn't mean you have to quit the job tomorrow and show up at the restaurant. You can really start contacting people that know about what it is that you want to do and just move toward it. And certainly this book tour are all emblematic of that for me. And the hike itself, it's mm-hmm. all been moving forward at a really neat clip and I still feel like I'm quasi in control of it, but it's really great. I mean, it's like a hike itself. You have to know when you have to pull in the reins and when you can let go. And that's part of the beauty of hiking is you can have a really tight plan, but the weather's going to change. You're going to feel better some days than others. You're going to encounter things that you hadn't expected, and you need to be nimble.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's my thing.
On the trail, have you ever run into anything very dangerous? Tell us about some close calls you may have had. Anything? Any close calls with bears or animals of the sort?
Well, we did.
Tell us some of the things.
Mm-hmm. The last hike we were on was the one where we saw the bear, and it was a mother bear coming out of a tree about 15 feet away from both of us. We happened to be hiking together at that moment, and she came falling out of the tree and scampered back up onto her paws and ran between the two of us down the mountain a little bit, and then she turned around and started grunting, which, as we know, is usually not a really good sign, and we just stood perfectly still and realized she was grunting at her cubs, which were still up in the tree that she'd been in, and she kind of cajoled them into jumping out of the tree and joining her, and then she turned and left. So really, that was really the only sort of close call we had. We also, quite humorously, came out of a one-week hike in Vermont to discover that a porcupine had eaten all of the rubber components in my engine. And my 2-year-old car was basically rendered useless.
Oh, no. Well, thank goodness for cell phones then. Thank God it happened during the cell phone period, not 28 years ago.
Yeah, well, no, that happened in the cell phone-less era, and we had to walk out a dirt road in quest of help.
Interesting people. I'm sure you've run
across
some of them along the trail.
Marvelous people, both on the trail and off. One really that comes to mind is a 78-year-old Lithuanian woman named Helen, who ran a little hotel and bar in Port Clinton, Pennsylvania. And she was so charming. And I had mentioned that for the most part, we never got back on the trail where we got off, but she was the notable exception. When we met her, she made such a great impression that when we left there, we said, you know what, she's 78 years old, she's a national treasure, we need to go back and see her again because we don't know how much longer she'll be around. So the next year we got on the trail at the same spot and she remembered us, and it was just wonderful to meet her one more time. And when I was writing the book, I was actually able to find her grandson, who now lives in Tacoma, who told me that Helen had indeed passed, but he told me a lot more about how she grew up and how, quite obviously, she poured her heart and soul into that hotel. And it just became another one of those things that happened to me when I was writing the book that was so meaningful.
Oh, well, that's really nice. How about your favorite parts? We're getting down to the end here. I got about a minute left, but what was your absolute favorite part? And maybe a section that you would recommend for those of us who probably won't be able to do all 2,200 miles. What's a part that we shouldn't miss?
Well, two of them come to mind right away. I think, actually, the section I mentioned in New Jersey, from High Point, New Jersey to Delaware Water Gap, You're up on a ridge and very little undulation there, relatively speaking. So you're not doing a lot of major ups and downs. You're at about 1,500 feet and beautiful views off the ridge all the way along. And the other one is Maryland. I think that's another 49-mile or so section through Civil War battlefield areas, which historically is also very interesting. It's not, again, it's not one of the epic climbing and descending sections. It's more historical and interesting and beautiful.
All right. Well, thank you. So, Jeff Ryan, it was so great to talk to you about your adventures along the AT. You know what would be so cool? If I could get to Skokie tomorrow and meet you. And you're finished with the trail. Do you ever go back and revisit, or do you have plans to take groups with you? I mean, you're probably going to have a cult following now with this book.
Well, oh my gosh, I love hiking so much that, of course, both Wayne and I have continued. He's actually going to join me in Chicago tomorrow. I've been on this tour solo so far, but yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. We get out on the trail a lot, okay. Both the AT and others. So let's get out and do it.
Sounds good. I would love that. That would be a dream of mine, to meet you and hike a little bit together on the trail. Thank you so much for coming on the show. It was so good to talk to you and hear about your experience.
Thank you, Dolly.
Well, I hope you'll come back on again. I hope to meet you soon. Thank you again for a great book. The book is The Appalachian Odyssey, author Jeff Ryan. Check it out. It's on Amazon. But as he mentioned, he'll be at the L.L. Bean in Skokie and in Barrington this weekend in Chicago, folks. So for those of you listening from Chicago, there you go. Thanks so much again, Jeff, and happy
Thank
trail
you, Dolly.
To you.
And same to you. Thanks for having me on.
You too. It's time to end the show on a good note. Stay positive, everybody. Be good, everybody. Be good to each other. And please go ahead and like the Dolly McCarthy Show on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. It was such a great show today. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll see you next week on The Good Show. Bye-bye now.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. It's the Dolly McCarthy Show.